Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
His name is John Middlecoff, former scout for the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy who is the host of the Three and Out podcast and works with The Athletic in San Francisco, and he joins us right now. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
What's going on?
Well, so here you sit at 1-4 if you're John Dorsey, and everybody's interested in what you're going to do, and everybody's calling and everything else, and I'm sure he has options, you know, galore. If you're him, what are you thinking? Are you trading out? You staying put, especially at 4? And what do you think could most benefit this football team in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I think at 1, I would imagine everyone in Cleveland agrees you got to take a quarterback. I would take Sam Darnold personally. I just think he has the highest floor. And for the Browns, to me, that's the most important thing, not necessarily the highest ceiling, because sometimes with high ceiling guys, I'm not a big Josh Allen guy. I don't like inaccurate quarterbacks, especially small school guys that did not have much success in college. I'm not arguing his just raw talent. I mean, the man on the moon can see that. But there is, as anyone in Cleveland can attest to, there's so much more to playing quarterback than just talent, right? So I'd go with Sam Darnold, and then at 4, I would have a bunch of different options. I would have no problem taking a player, whether that's I think Denzel Ward might make as much or not more sense than Bradley Chubb, from the simple fact that you did draft a star pass rusher last year, number 1 overall, so it's not necessarily a pressing need. You guys don't have any corners. This guy has an opportunity to be a big-time corner. I also think you could take Saquon Barkley, though I think that they have such high picks in the next round that you could easily get a starting running back at pick 33. And then, you know, I would be open to trading it for Odell Beckham. I would think about doing that. For me, trading down, like, haven't they done that the last several years to acquire all these picks? Isn't it it's either time to get a player or use that pick to trade for a blue-chip player?
Like that idea. I agree with you on that.
Hey, when you look at Beckham, do you think he's worth 2 first-round picks? At first, I was like, no, and then I started reading a bunch of stories, and I was like, oh, maybe. Like I guess it depends where it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Browns, to me, no one would get – I don't think they would have an offer of anyone in the top 15 because there's not a team in that area that's a player away.
Right.
Like, to me, if I was the Niners, I'd maybe offer you my second this year and next year's one. But I'm not giving you number 9. So if I was the Browns and willing to give you number 4, I'm not giving you another pick. Because now, no, and also I'm not arguing that like the guy they would take it for is going to be a better player than Odell Beckham. The chances of that happening are slim to none. But the point is, like, when you take a guy at 4, even though he's still making a lot of money, he's still making, you know, $5-7 million a year under a cost-controlled contract for 4 years, and then with that fifth-year option, where Odell, you have to pay him an astronomical sum. So I do think that factors in. Now, would I trade number 4, you know, and maybe pick 33? I mean, I think you could entertain doing something like that, and I don't know how if the Giants, if they were willing to trade him, how they would pass on something like that.
John Middlecoff joining us, former scout, works for The Athletic. John, I like your thoughts about Sam Darnold and the high floor, and I understand that from a Brown standpoint. What is it that you like about Darnold that would make you invest in him if you're John Dorsey?
Well, I mean, I think physically he has all the tools. He doesn't have a great arm. The comparison I make is kind of what Alex Smith has become these last 4 or 5 years in Kansas City. That is worst case kind of what he becomes, but he's probably a more natural passer, the version of Alex we saw this year, you know. And I don't think he's ever going to be probably a top 5 quarterback, but I don't see him being a scrub. And, you know, living out here on the West Coast, I watch every SC game. There's something, if you just watch one game and watch him in a vacuum, and I get buddies in the league that text me to just watch one individual game, And they'll say, you know, I'm not really feeling it. I'm not really seeing it. And I would agree. He has some bad moments. But if you watched his entire career, you go, there's something kind of just special about this guy. Also, this year, and you guys know, being around Ohio State, when you have a program like SC, people just, if you don't watch them every week or you don't watch them much in a given year, you just assume they're playing with a bunch of star players.
True.
And this year he wasn't. The team was terrible. You know, I mean, they did offensive-wise, they have a good running back, but they had their receivers, typically USC has NFL receivers. This year they didn't, and they don't have a tight end either. So he was playing with a bunch of guys that are not going to be playing at the next level, and he gave them a chance. I think they ended up winning 10 games. They were not a 10-win talented roster. So, and their coach is pretty bad. So he overcame all that, which is really impressive in my opinion. It really was more of a middle-of-the-road Pac-12 team than it was a team that, you know, ended up winning the Pac-12 championship. They had no business winning that championship given the talent on their roster. So there's something just – and with quarterbacks, to me, it is important. Some innate, intangible qualities that you can't really measure. And, again, back to Cleveland, you guys know better than anyone. There's so much more to playing quarterback than just physical tools. I think it's probably – at the end of the day, 50-50, especially when you're talking about players that have the tools. You know, once we're talking about first-round guys, all these guys have the tools. Now, what's it like upstairs? How does he act? How hard does he work? All that type of stuff. And we saw with Johnny Manziel, and I think for Johnny, people kind of talk about him like he was a scrub NFL player. I think he kind of had some flashes once he started playing. I don't know if he was ever going to be a great player, but he was a legitimate NFL starter.
John, let me ask you this, because I know you've talked a lot about the Wunderlich and you've put some of the scores out there. Just your thoughts on why to release those scores if you have them. I think from a media standpoint, I can understand how you would. I'm just wondering why someone would want to give up the Wunderlich scores. Are you doing it to help or hurt a player? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I just asked. I mean, right. It wasn't necessarily leaked to me. Actually, the team that gave to me doesn't even need a quarterback. And I just, you know, people like it. So I put out the top five scores, you know, just like, unlike a lot of these, like Pro Football Talk, a lot of their articles for the NFL are to impact, you know, the way the NFL thinks about it. It's really kind of irrelevant what the fans think. It's just thought processes of other teams. All the teams had all this information. Like literally every team has this information. This isn't secret information.
Sure.
The only people that doesn't have it are the fans. And it's not a make or break information. It really, at the end of the day, I don't know how much it really even matters. So I just put it out because I know people like it. And at the end of the day, I don't think it really affects much. And I there was one guy that scored poorly. There's been a lot of guys in the history of the league that have scored poorly and, you know, it hasn't really affected their careers and vice versa. It's been guys that score well. Doesn't necessarily, I mean, Johnny Manziel scored a 32.
Yeah.
How's he doing now? You know,
so. John, would you want your Wunderlich score out if it wasn't good? If it was you.
I mean, probably not. I mean, does anyone want a lot of the information that gets out in the NFL?
No, I get it.
I just don't know. This isn't secret information. Every team in the league has it. So it's just fans that don't. And really, at the end of the day, what do the fans mean for the NFL? Really, I mean, as we've seen, nothing. It's not going to impact anything. You know, it's just the score. All the scores historically are out. I mean, you can check. You know, everyone in the league knows, or, you know, fans know, Vince Young got a 7, Frank Gore got a 5. Like, at the end of the day, what does it matter? That's my thing. I mean,
I just think from football, you're 1,000% right. I just wonder, you know, a guy who's, I mean, the fact that you know a guy had, I think sometimes when we talk about the Wunderlich, I wonder about it in the same way that we do, you know, IQ testing with pre-kindergartners. You know what I'm saying? That there's a reason why.
I get you. But all the teams in the league, like John Dorsey, in front of his right now on his computer, he has everyone's score, and he's had it for weeks. Like none of this is new information to him. Like all these guys in the league have all this information. So you know, we talk about it as radio show hosts or whatever. But the NFL has all the information. When something comes out, like about you know stuff that's impacting internally about a player, or you know stuff about coaches that hate each other, that type of information to me is stuff that we don't have. So that right. is kind of like, that. Should that stuff be leaked?
Yeah, no, but you also could make the argument that every employer has your Social Security number, but not everyone has your Social Security number. I mean, I understand why you did it. I don't have a problem with it.
I know. From your point of view, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I just asked for the top five guys what their scores were, and I put it out.
John Middlecoff joining us. He's a former NFL scout with the Eagles, works for The Athletic. I've thrown out the idea, John, of the Browns drafting two quarterbacks. And I say that because, you know, you've got pretty much the top five with Jackson and Mayfield, Allen, Darnold, Rosen. But then there are a bunch of other guys who at some point have been pretty highly regarded. Would you do that? And B, if you would, who would you be looking for if you were John Dorsey, if he's sitting there in the fourth round?
You're saying do like an RG3 Kirk Cousins type?
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. You know, like take a Mason Rudolph, Luke Falk or something in the third round.
Yeah. Is there one of those guys you really like?
You know, I mean, not really, but I've watched a lot of Luke Falk. He had some injuries in college. You know, I've heard some different things on Mason Rudolph, but he's solid. But again, you look back at Kirk Cousins from a physical, there was a reason he was a fourth rounder. You know, he didn't have a great arm. Physically, he wasn't like a great athlete. That's usually, if you're going to get a guy in the third or fourth round, that's kind of what you're getting. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Luke Falk would be a guy that you would definitely think about doing, you know, taking it in the third round. Mason Rudolph, like, if you're going to do that strategy, I don't love wasting a second-round pick on one of those guys. Mm-hmm. You'd like to take him probably ideally in the fourth round. But, you know, if the Browns have so many picks, you could take a guy in the third round. Yeah, I mean, it worked out pretty well for Washington that they had this massive bust. And then they had a fallback option. They all kind of played out crazy, but they ended up having an option for a starter for 3 years. It was pretty good.
All right, let me ask you two quick questions before we go. First of all, Carlos Hyde with the Browns. How do you think he's going to do?
And you spent time covering him in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, I thought he had his best season this year. He's just – his problem is he's solid at everything but not great at one thing. He runs really hard. He catches the ball okay, but he's not going to break a bunch of tackles. He's had injury problems. He's not a great pass blocker, but he's just a solid player. And I think at the end of the day, you don't want him necessarily to be your starter. You want him to kind of be your rotational guy. And that's why I think the Browns are definitely in the mix to draft a guy. And if that's the case, he'd be in a great position. Plus, they didn't pay him much money. So I thought that was a very solid signing.
Good point. All right, John, let me ask you the last question. You worked with Joe Banner for what, 2-3 years in Philly?
Yeah, my whole time there.
Were you surprised?
I guess, or maybe two. He left.
Were you surprised that it didn't work out for him in Cleveland? What was your thoughts on him here in Cleveland?
It all snowballed because they kept firing coaches, and then I remember that story how, you know, did it come out like a coach said he wouldn't work for those guys? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't have enough information. In fairness to Joe, like it's not like. Jimmy's had been a bastion of consistency in the front office.
Sure.
Who has succeeded? You know, and if John Dorsey that has a resume of success can't succeed, I think it's more Jimmy Haslam than it is Joe, because if you look at Joe's resume in Philly, I mean, he somehow got along pretty well with Andy and won a lot of games and made a lot of money, so it worked out okay. I'd say his resume is longer than Jimmy's.
Fair enough.
John, thanks for the insight. You can follow John on Twitter at John Middlecoff. It's JohnMiddleKauff. Former NFL scout, works with The Athletic in San Francisco. John, good insight. Thank you.
John, thanks a million for coming on.
Have a good one. See you.
Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.